Do you really long to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think about that day when we're going to be called home to glory, as Tom sang about? Notice the last part here of verse number 8, that love his appearing. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you truly love his appearing? I'm sure that some of you who are anxiously awaiting the arrival of your new little baby are not really anticipating the Lord's return as you are anticipating the birth of your baby. We got an email this week from Brian and Heather Passanel, former members of our church down in North Carolina, and some pictures, of course, about their new little baby, born this past week, and they named him Ezra. I don't know if Nehemiah is going to follow or not, but it is in the Bible. And so they're more excited about their new little baby than they are loving the Lord's appearing. I'm sure some of you, if there's any out there in the audience this morning, unmarried young people, you are thinking more about getting married and having children than you are to love his appearing. And some of you grandparents-to-be, you're thinking, well, I would like to see some grandchildren one of these days and before I can really say I love his appearing. But for the many, many in our little church membership who are struggling with cancer and other life-threatening diseases, I think you are probably in the process of loving his appearing. Many of you out here this morning, you've lost your mates, some just this year. And I'm sure that you are in the process of loving his appearing. No doubt there are many Christians who never think about his appearing, and therefore you're going to be caught off guard when he does appear. Paul Haley was a six-year-old little boy, and he had incurable cancer. It was his greatest wish to see the President of the United States of America. When President Eisenhower was in Denver one day, he heard about this little boy, and he agreed to go and visit with Paul. So the presidential limousine stopped in front of his house, and the president got out with his bodyguards, climbed out of the car, and went up and knocked on the door. The father came to the door in a worn-out pants, a faded shirt, unshaven, hair unkempt, and was asked what the men wanted. He was so perplexed. But his boy, little Paul, soon found out why they were there. It was the President of the United States that had come to see him. And the president embraced the little boy, took him out to the car, and showed him everything about the car. They visited for a little while, and then they left. In the whole neighborhood, this event was spoken of for many years to come. But the father was not so enthusiastic, however, and he said, I can never, ever forgive myself for receiving the President of the United States wearing such shabby clothes. If only they had told me they were coming, I would have prepared for their coming. He was completely taken by surprise by the visit of the President. He was unshaven and not dressed well at all. Many, many Christians would not be prepared if Jesus Christ came back today because they don't expect him to come. I think most in this congregation, well, you really don't expect him to come, and you surely don't expect him to come today. And yet this hope was always a characteristic of the true church of Jesus Christ. Why has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missionaries these past 2,000 years left their homeland, their family, their friends, and their loved ones to go to different and dangerous parts of the world to serve the Lord Jesus Christ if they did not think he would one day return? They believed in the imminent rapture of God's redeemed people, and they were in love thinking about his appearing. Well, sadly, this hope has died in so many because of the very same thing that happened to a missionary during Bible times. His name was Demas. Are you still there in 2 Timothy 4? Look down to verse number 10 if you are. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He loved this present world more than he loved the Lord's appearing. And so many Christians fall into that same category. They're more in love with this world than they are thinking about the Lord's return. I want you to look at what Paul wrote to the believers over in Corinth. Go back to 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, and we're going to be looking at several scriptures, so just do your best to keep up or jot them down or just listen and do the best you can. That's on page number 1227 if you have a King James Scofield Bible. 1227, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to die, and we're not all going to die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put upon incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are we a waiting people? The early church was a waiting, hoping church that looked for the return of Jesus Christ. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples stood watching, and they couldn't understand everything that was going on. They thought the Lord was going to immediately set up his kingdom after he was raised from the dead. But now, all of a sudden, a cloud comes down from heaven and envelops him, and he goes up into heaven. He disappears. And with his disappearance also disappears their dreams. While they were looking and wondering in amazement what in the world was going on, then they were shocked again when something, two angels, I happen to believe Moses and Elijah, suddenly appears and says some things to them. Let's go back and look at that. Go back to your left to Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts and the first chapter, and that's on page 1148. Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. Acts chapter 1, page 1148, verses 10 and 11. Now, Jesus had just given them their final instructions, and then all of a sudden, he's taken up, disappears, and beginning in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. He said he's going to come back, and he will be coming back soon. Paul was convinced of this. Peter was convinced of this. Look what Peter writes. Go, if you're there still in Acts and kept your finger there, go over to the third chapter. Peter was expecting the return of Christ and preached concerning this to the people. Look in Acts 3 and verses 19 and 20 of Acts chapter 3. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. The Apostle Paul was absolutely convinced that the Lord was going to return. He thought he's going to return in his lifetime. So he proclaimed this important aspect of the Christian faith. Go over now to your right a little bit to 1 Thessalonians and the first chapter, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You'll find that on page 1267. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Page 1267. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, keep your finger here in 1 Thessalonians, if you can, or a bookmark or something there. Paul was in Thessalonica only a very short period of time. But in spite of this, the believers there felt that the rapture could take place in their lifetime and at any time. They had such an expectation of the soon return of Jesus Christ that Paul had to write to them in length concerning this matter. And he does that. Go in the fourth chapter now of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. the fourth chapter, and look, follow along as I begin reading in verse number 18. The fourth chapter and verse number, or verse 13 I'll begin with. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, Paul didn't find it necessary to debate on the exact time or the exact moment of the rapture. Look down there in verse 5 and verse 1. And he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, why is this? Because they believed the return of Christ could be at any moment. It was imminent. Now, Paul not only preached this to the Thessalonians, but he also preached it to other churches. He preached and wrote to the Christians of Galatia. Look in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. This Galatia is present-day southern Turkey. Chapter number 5 of Galatians and verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We are waiting for the righteous person, the righteous Messiah, the righteous judge of this world to come back. He also wrote to the church at Philippi. Go over your right just a couple of pages to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, page 1260. Philippians 3. Look at verses 20 and 21. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm just down here temporarily. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Wouldn't you like your body that you're in now changed, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? And then he wrote to the church of Thessalonica. If you go to your right just a little bit, again, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and look at verses 9 and 10 again with me, page 1267, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, who is Jesus Christ, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And then he wrote to his friend Titus. Keep going to your right. All of the T's are there together. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus. So go to your right to Titus chapter 2. That's on page 1284, Titus chapter 2. And look at verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then as the crowning conclusion, Paul wrote to the saints at Thessalonica, the words I just read a while ago in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Paul was deeply convinced of the possibility that the rapture could happen at any time. He preached accordingly. He lived out his faith. He served the Lord that had his divine seal upon it. Now, what about us? Are we truly waiting? Or are we like the servants of whom the Lord Jesus warned in our text verses in Luke 12? Let's go back and look there again. Go back with me to Luke's gospel in the 12th chapter, please. Luke chapter 12, and that's on page 1093. Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading again in verse number 42. And notice the Lord is speaking. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, Paul did not understand this parable, nor the one before that. So he asked the Lord a question. Look in verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Is this just meant for we, his disciples, or is it meant for the whole world? True believers are characterized by their attitude of the expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he warns his disciples down there in verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And that's the exact hour we are in today, because we don't think he's really going to be coming. Nominal, lukewarm Christians are kind of like the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus described them as evil servants. Turn back with me to Matthew's gospel, the 24th chapter. Matthew chapter 24, page number 1034. 1034 in your Scofield Bible. Matthew 24. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 48 of Matthew 24. Verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, then shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As it was then, so it is today. We are not expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come. We've taken our eyes off the goal of his return and we put it on worldly things. True believers are always waiting. Simeon was a godly believer who was waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, to come the first time. Go over from your right to Matthew to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke's gospel, the second chapter. That'll be on page 1073. 1073, the gospel of Luke, the second chapter. And I'm going to begin reading down in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was waiting for the Lord to come, and he saw him. Let's go on with verse number 30, verse number 29. Let's go to 28. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, to come. This hope characterized his life, and the hope of the rapture ought to characterize every one of our lives. He lived accordingly, just and devout, in the fear of God, with the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Anna was a woman that was waiting for the Messiah, the Savior. Let's look in Luke chapter 2 and down at verse number 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. For 84 years she was in the temple, never left it, just continued in prayer and fasting. Verse 38, and she, coming in that instant, gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him and to all that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. They were looking for the Messiah to come the first time. I'm looking for him to come the second time. Then Paul writes to his brother in the faith, Titus. I want to look at Titus chapter 2, his beloved preacher brother in the faith, Titus chapter 2. And that'll be on page number 1284, Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading down in verse number 11. Would you follow along in your Bibles, please? Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Everybody has an opportunity to be saved. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in these verses, we are given three commands for you and for me. Number one, we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Command number two, we're to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present wicked world. We're to do that. And number three, we are to wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, my question is, are we truly waiting for him? If so, then we may respond to the words over in Revelation 22. So will you go with me to the last book of the Bible and the last chapter of the Bible? Revelation 22. And we're going to look at the last invitation in the Bible. The very last invitation. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, that includes all of you folks here, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's talking about salvation. So to the unsaved here this morning, I urge you to come to Christ. Consider what he did and how you can have your sins forgiven and a home in heaven. I want you to understand 2,000 years ago, he left the glories of heaven. He came down to this earth. He took upon himself human flesh. He lived a perfect sinless life that you and I cannot live. He kept every one of the commandments of which we have all broken. And he died on that cross and had all of our sins placed upon him and shed his precious blood. And he died and was buried. But on that first Easter Sunday morning, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Christ arose. Oh, that ought to excite us this morning. Now, to those of you who are saved, we need to repent, and we need to repeat the last prayer in the Bible. We've just looked at the last invitation. It is followed by the last prayer. Look in verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And the last prayer in the Bible, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the prayer of my heart. I hope it's the prayer of your heart. May we bow together in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the rapture that's yet to be, but could be today. I thank you, Lord, that I'm a part of that, will be a part of that rapture. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve to have my sins forgiven. I don't deserve a home in heaven. But my Savior took care of that on the cross. And thank you so much. Thank you for that day when the Lord Jesus came into my heart and life and took away my sins and put my feet upon a solid rock and changed the course and destiny of my life. And now I know that I'm saved and going to heaven because of him. Now, I'm not sure about all of these people today. I'm not sure if all of them are going to heaven. But if there's one that maybe they're not sure, I pray they'll make sure this morning. I pray no one will leave this auditorium without knowing for sure they're going to heaven when life is over. And Lord, we do look for the rapture. We long for it to take place. We don't know when it's going to be, but we know it will come one day. Help us to be ready for that great day. Pray you bless the invitation. Help folks to make decisions that they'll be glad 100 years from now that they made. In Jesus' name, amen.